Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show as we get you ready for Championship Sunday. And we had a little fun question at stevejonesshow.com the last couple of days. If you could only watch one game Sunday, which one would it be?
AFC or NFC? Oh, for goodness sakes.
Hey, listen, I'm open to changing it if we can find another compelling question like that.
Compelling? Compelling?
Compelling question like that one.
Oh, golly. Let's see. Don't want to jump the gun too much on our Bozo thing, but did you see the Danny Cannell quote today?
I don't think so.
Oh, I forgot. It's not a CBS Sports line. You don't read that.
I haven't looked at... the only one I didn't see of the majors was SI. I didn't see that today.
Danny Cannell, now this is on his show, and his quote was that it would be bad for the NFL if Peyton Manning made the Super Bowl because people don't realize how bad Peyton Manning is. The exact quote is, "It's hard to watch him play. I don't think people realize how bad Manning is."
I watched him play, and I didn't think it was awful. I mean, was it Hall of Fame, you know, never forget this game material? No, but I wouldn't say it's bad.
If that's the case, with all due respect... how bad is your team?
Yeah, really?
After all, he beat them.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, was he the best Peyton Manning we've ever seen? No.
No.
He's
not the Peyton Manning of 3 years ago. I mean, we all know that. I mean, anybody who has any average football intelligence can look at Peyton Manning and can say, you know what, that's not the same Peyton Manning from even 2 years ago. It's not. Is he bad? I don't think he's bad. Pre-snap, he is as brilliant as ever. Now, can the body do what the mind tells it to do at the same level? No.
I can tell you right now, if you told people in Cleveland that Peyton Manning was going to sign with the Cleveland Browns, season tickets sales would go up tenfold in an hour.
I think everybody knows he's not what he was. I agree with that,
but still, he's going to make you interested in Browns football if that were the case.
Except I think this is his last, whatever game coming up is his last game.
You think he hangs it up after whatever, as you said, this season, we'll say?
Well, you know what people have been noticing lately? Like, his kids are out on the field with him. You never see his kids, you know. You never do. But his kids have been out on the field with him before the game, you know? And, like, not only was Archie at the game last week, but Cooper was there. Why? I know it's a playoff game, but it kind of makes you wonder in reading tea leaves whether this is it or not. Well, The second the thing. I noticed your family started hanging around the studio more. What does that mean?
I don't see them until March.
Yeah, I talked to them. It's like, you know, just the other day, it's like this feeling of inner peace.
Don't see them until March.
Oh, man. But I thought that quote, I heard that, and I was like, are you? Hey, if you don't think, first of all, the Broncos are not built around Peyton Manning like they were. The Broncos are built around their defense. I mean, look, neither team is the same as what they were. I mean, let's just go through it. All right. The Broncos, in my opinion, have a better defense than the Patriots. The Patriots have the better place kicker. The Broncos, I think, have the better punter. The Broncos, in my opinion, have the better running backs. The Broncos have, in my opinion, the better offensive line. The Patriots, in my opinion, have better wide receivers and tight ends. And the Patriots, in my opinion, have the better quarterback. There's a lot that each side is better than the other guy. Things have changed. This is not the same Patriots team as last year. They're not the same at corner, and they're not the same at defensive tackle. The Patriots are not the same last year as they were in the offensive line, and they're not the same in the running game. It's not. So the Patriots are not the same team that won the Super Bowl last year. They may have some of the same guys, some of the same parts, but not all the same parts. And that's... it's just a fact of life. And Peyton Manning's not the same as he was 2 years ago. If the Broncos were to win, it would not be the same Peyton Manning that beat the Bears in the Super Bowl or lost to the Saints in the Super Bowl. You know, and I think what Danny Kanell sounds like he's fearing is that it's the same Peyton Manning you saw against Seattle. But I don't know. I don't think. I thought that was. These shows, I mean, we go 3 to 5 every day, and for 2 hours we deliver opinions. Now, I know it's going to surprise a few people listening right now that not everybody agrees with everything I say. I know that's a surprise. I know it shocked me.
No comment.
Oh, let's not get to your opinion.
My opinion is different than most everybody in the world, and I'm okay with that.
Is your opinion different than most people in the world? Not necessarily.
Not on everything. Not on everything.
No, not necessarily. No. I mean, there's some times where you'll deliver an opinion, and I know just through a different experience that it's not quite right. How about that?
That's a fair comment.
Where there are times where you deliver your opinion from the outside, looking in perception-wise, but if you're on the inside a little bit more, you know it's not quite like that. How about that?
Or it's an emotional opinion.
All of your opinions are emotional opinions. I hope Big Ben doesn't. Okay. But to use words like bad, you have to be sometimes cautious with to the extreme you use words.
If Peyton Manning's bad, I do not want to see what bad is.
Is Peyton Manning what Peyton Manning was 2 years ago?
No, I think that's an easy comment to say. No, he's not.
Right. Exactly. I completely agree with you. Right. So, I mean, that's fair analysis of him. Right. Are they wheeling him out there? No.
No.
All right. Would I rather have Peyton Manning or Sam Bradford at the controls right now? In this game, I want Peyton Manning's mind, which I think is just as important as what he does with his arm. even though I know right now his arm is cashing a couple checks that might bounce. But he's still pre-snap. He gets them into the right play. He gets them out of the wrong play. He gets them into the right protection. And I thought he threw the ball a little bit better last week than when I saw 2.5 months ago.
Unfortunately. Well, I'm not going to say that.
And out of nowhere, the fan shows up.
You know, all right. I said as I'm watching this game, Eileen, my wife said, don't you like Peyton Manning? I said, yes. And this is the only time that I hope he has a really awful game. It's the only time I'm going to root against Peyton Manning. Because let's face it, it's hard not to like Peyton Manning. I mean, what's not to like if you're a fan of the game of football?
I understand. Hooked it just a little bit.
That's all right. You'll like this. It's funny you mentioned that because right after that played for like the 47th time on Sunday, the Broncos have the ball, and I sent a text to Sean Carey and I said in the singing voice of Peyton Manning, "Time to throw an INT." Unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Yeah, and it also doesn't really come out great in black and white in the text.
No, right. No, but he got the idea.
He never did throw an INT.
Nope.
And neither did your quarterback.
No.
Did not. Your quarterback, I thought, gave one heck of an account of himself on Sunday. You'd love to do a show with somebody that rooted for the same teams you did.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it would be balanced.
Oh, it's balanced. But look, this is what we do. We do deliver opinions. Yeah, we deliver opinions. I mean, like at the other, like last week, you're asked about, why would Tom Coughlin turn down? What was he at? And I said, who cares why he turned him down? He did. You move on to the next guy. The longer you sit there lamenting, oh, why did this happen? Okay, you're just falling further behind. you gotta move forward. You gotta move forward people who want to be there. Okay. Now that's an opinion, but it's also an opinion that I gave that is based very strongly on being around and inside sports for a long time. That if you sit there and you lament why you don't have someone or something, okay, all you do is lament. Okay? You go on to somebody else. You go I've told people when they've asked me internally about coaching searches at Penn State. And I've told them, and I've been very emphatic about this with everybody, and I've told this to committees, and I've told this, hey, one of the items, there are many items you can talk about, personnel and so forth, but I want somebody that thinks that Penn State is not just a job, it's the job. Okay, that's what I want. I want somebody who doesn't just think it's a job, I want somebody who thinks it's the job. Because they're going to throw their heart and soul into it. They're going to throw their heart and soul into the university and into the culture of the university. See, that's what I'm looking at. I've said that repeatedly over the years, privately and now publicly. And that's important to me, very important to me, as somebody who's around here all the time. So, for example, somebody mentioned Tom Coughlin, the whole thing, and they something about exit interviews. I'm like, you don't do an exit interview when you say, hey, I'm not taking the job, I'll see you. Yeah. We'll do an exit interview. No, I'm not. I don't work here. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year's New Year's resolution at Sunbury Motors Kia is easy. Yes, savings and 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Sereno, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So with a huge selection of quality Kias, all clearly sale priced, backed by one of the best warranties in the business, well, it just doesn't get any easier than this to ring in the new year with a new Kia. So resolve to come down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. 2016 is going to be easy at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You know what's interesting about the NFL when it comes to history? And we're going to do this day in sports history. When you look at Major League Baseball, for example, we talk about, you know, Cy Young, Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Joe DiMaggio, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Jimmy Fox, whomever, Ted Williams. And we talk about the history of baseball going back many years. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about hockey going back, like to the Bobby Orr era or Jean Beliveau or the Canadiens or Rocket Richard or something. Basketball, George Mikan, Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, John Havlicek, you know, through the years, Julius Erving. The NFL gives you the impression that its history began with the Super Bowl. Huh? What? It's always loved the, like, steal that, and you're one of them, Steeler fans. We have more Super Bowls than anybody.
We do.
And that's absolutely true. You've won more Super Bowls than anybody. But you're down the list on NFL championships, buddy.
Don't disagree. Never claimed to have NFL championships.
Right. Well, the Super Bowl is the NFL championship.
Now.
What do you mean now? What do you mean now?
Well, the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is the NFL championship now.
Yes. Well, the first four weren't. But the last 45 of them have been. It's as if anybody who won a champion, I think the Cleveland Browns have more championships than you do. As a matter of fact.
I would refuse to admit that, even if it were true.
It's always fun talking with somebody reasonable. All right. For this day in sports
history. It doesn't have anything to do with reason. It has everything to do with recognition, and I will not recognize that. I refuse to recognize it.
Well, I'll give you an example. The Green Bay Packers. They've only won four Super Bowls. Do you know how many championships the Packers have won?
The Browns have had 8 league championships, 4 NFL championships, and 4 AAFC championships.
Yes. And you have 6. All right. The New York Giants. You know how many NFL championships they've won? The Packers, the Bears. You know, the Bears have only won one Super Bowl. Really? So you're telling me Johnny Unitas only won one championship in his career? Oh, contraire, mon frere. It's just really interesting that the Super Bowl era has taken hold of what the history of the league is. And that's not true. The league is coming up on its 100th year. This day in sports history, first official basketball game played by students at the Springfield, Massachusetts YMCA Training School in 1892. 1968, I watched this game, Houston and UCLA. 52,693 at the Astrodome. Houston stopped UCLA's 47-game winning streak, 71-69. Elvin Hayes had a big night. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a little scratch in the eye that night. They put the court at the center of the Astrodome with no other seats around it. It was on TVS.
Must have looked like it was on an island.
It did. It did. It did. It was odd. And the game was on TVS. Dick Enberg did the game. Oh, and by the way, they had a rematch in the Final Four. Want to know what the final score of that one was?
1-0.
101-69. UCLA kicked the living daylights out of it and killed them. There you go. That's this day in sports history. Let's bring in Nikki Jabala now from the Denver Post. Nikki, before we really get into the nuts and bolts of the game, is it the feeling in Denver that that Sunday's game is Peyton Manning's last game as a Denver Bronco?
I think it is. I mean, there are subtle signs that you can kind of see. I mean, I think as you guys, I told this last time, but you see his kids on the field beforehand. You see all of his families, all of his family members coming to the games. And I know Archie attends a lot, but Cooper was there too. I think everybody kind of gets a sense that, you know, this could be it, especially in Denver, but, you know, this could be it for his career too. So each game definitely has a little more meaning than the last, that's for sure.
When you watched him against Pittsburgh, what seemed the same to you about him as you watched him play, and did there seem to be anything different as to how he played?
Well, for one, he looked a lot healthier. He could do the things that he couldn't do. I mean, the turnovers were, you know, the most, you know, the biggest evidence you need right there. But he still doesn't have that passing ability that he did maybe a season and a half ago before that quad injury late last season. So they're relying more on the run game. The problem is they need that run game to really get going. I mean, when they dominate big teams like they did with Green Bay and New England, they have their rushers at full force, and that's kind of what's been lacking so far. And that's really going to be the key to them heading into Sunday.
And Anderson had a huge game in that snowstorm against New England back, I think, I want to say it was November 29th. What about the back and forth this week between DeMarcus Ware and Tom Brady? How entertaining have you found that?
That was actually Antonio Smith. What's interesting is, you know, I don't quite understand it. I mean, you know, from both sides, it just seems silly. I mean,
I'm with you.
Of all the teams you're going to poke, it's like, do you really want to go after Gronk and Brady? That just seems like a bad idea. But I'm no expert on this stuff. You know, the Broncos have certainly proven themselves, especially defensively. And I kind of find all this lead up to be nonsense, really. Let them have their fun. But, you know, it's not to sound cliche, but it really all does come down this Sunday.
Yeah,
the tabloids are having a field day with it. I just saw the Daily News and the New York Post. That was, you know, expected, but well done nonetheless.
Well, they were actually, they were also having fun on the fun about Trump. So it's all over the place. Yeah.
This is a good time for them.
Oh, you got that right. Yeah. The safeties being back against Pittsburgh. What did that do to stabilize the Denver defense overall?
I think that saved them, especially with Chris Harris now banged up. T.J. Warden, I think Darian Stewart is probably the most underrated free agent acquisition this offseason. I mean, he's really been the missing piece to that defense. And he wasn't available the last time around. So that was huge for them. But, you know, I think this Chris Harris injury, he's going to play through it, obviously. This guy's, you know, this is what he does. But he gave up 70 yards on 4 catches, which is uncharacteristic for him. It's, you know, this isn't something he, you know, likes putting out there, but, you know, he is hobbled, and that's going to be a huge issue for them. You could see in that Pittsburgh game, they kind of loosened the reins on their man coverage, and that affected them a lot.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh got like 191 yards after the catch, so. That's definitely something that could hurt them.
Yeah, that's not how Denver plays. They are not a big yard after the catch defensive team. They're usually you catch it, you go down kind of defense.
Exactly. I mean, that secondary, they took pride, as they should, in their play early in the season. They were just stifling. And, you know, was it like 18 weeks under your belt? That'll take its toll, you know?
I also felt watching the game that I didn't feel like Denver got a lot of pressure on Ben Roethlisberger. And Roethlisberger does a good job of moving around in that 3 to 5 foot circle. I mean, he does. But it didn't seem like he had a lot of pressure. Did either Gary Kubiak or Wade Phillips address that?
Well, I think a lot of the pressure went unnoticed. I think Pro Football Focus had both Von Miller and Derek Wolfe having 7 pressures on Roethlisberger, which was actually better than I thought, too, especially when you look at the stat sheet. But, I mean, that's definitely going to be something to watch for Sunday because that's where Kansas City fell short, you know? They didn't have any sacks, and they had, 3 quarterback hits against Brady, and that was their downfall. That's been raised quite a bit, and this is, you know, the crux of their defense here in Denver. So, it could be, I don't want to say it's the biggest challenge because I think Roethlisberger in himself is just, he's huge. He's a big guy for one, and he can throw the ball long. So I think that's a huge challenge. But Brady is certainly unique, with his quick release and having Edelman back. So it's definitely something that's been raised here.
I'll tell you a story about Roethlisberger being a large man. The guy I work Penn State football with in announcing the games is Jack Ham, and when we went to do the Rose Bowl a few years ago, Penn State was playing USC, and there's plexiglass between the booths. And Jack comes up to me, he says, "Hey, Steve," he says, "you want to know why I lasted in the NFL 12 years?" He says, he points to the left, and Paul McDonald was the analyst for USC. He says, and McDonald's like 6'2", 185 pounds, whatever. He says, "I hit that for 12 years." He says, "Roethlisberger is 260 pounds. I don't know if I could have made it."
Right.
That's a big man.
He's enormous.
Man.
Some of the Broncos defenders, they said outright, he's just the hardest to take down. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious why.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a gigantic guy that can move. I mean, can move. Brady has never had great success playing in Denver. And which probably dealt with, did you deal with any of the post-game frustration he had in that game? Did you cover any of that, or were you just strictly covering the Broncos and heard more about it?
Well, I was covering the Broncos, but you know how they air all the post-game press conferences. I actually thought he held his own pretty well, especially with the, with the mentions about the Gronkowski hit. I was kind of impressed how he, kind of defended the play of defensive players these days with their hits. But, there was obviously a ton of frustration. I mean, he couldn't do much in that game. I think they had, 39 rushing yards in that game?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And they don't have the running backs now that they had then.
Right. So,
This is what Brady Manning 17, as they call it. Whatever.
17.
Yep. So, what is the feeling in Denver that it's Brady Manning again, or is it just so focused on the Broncos it doesn't really matter that it's these two guys?
I think it's more Brady versus the Broncos defense.
Gotcha.
I mean, I think the label of this team has done a complete 180. I mean, you think about all the Manning-led teams, it's always been about him and his arm and him, leading the team. But this defense, that's what this team is about this year. The offense has struggled to find its rhythm. Its quarterbacks have struggled to find their rhythm. The defense has saved them repeatedly. So it's less about Manning Brady, although that's the sexier headline, right? Especially with Manning and, nearing the end. But, this game is going to come down to the defense.
Isn't it interesting, at least to me as a parallel, that John Elway, who had just an incredible career, and when they won the 2 Super Bowls, it was Terrell Davis on the defense.
Right.
Interesting parallels.
Absolutely. I think people sometimes forget that, here's Elway running the show, and he went out with 2 Super Bowl titles. It creates an unfair comparison to Manning, I think.
Yeah.
Because they had one of the greatest rushers of all time. They also had Shannon Sharp and Rod Smith. And, I mean, they had all these weapons that, the Broncos are loaded too. But you know, I think TD was a game changer in that one. Obviously, he was
2,000-yard rusher. I mean, they don't grow on trees. I mean, he had 2,000 yards rushing in the season. What will be some of the things on your checklist that you're going to be looking for heading into the game to see how they play out?
Number one, the running backs. If the Broncos don't have their run game going, I think they're doomed, honestly. Number two is the turnovers. You know, when the defense plays well, when they get those takeaways, those big plays, that's how they win. I think they dropped three of their four losses came when they lost the turnover battle. Right. So that's something to watch for sure. And then obviously Chris Harris versus Julian Edelman. I mean, they didn't have Edelman last time, and he's obviously, you know, a huge force back there. And if Harris is at all hobbled, that could really hurt. And Chris Harris knows that. I mean, he's such a joy to cover, but, you know, he knows, you know, it's on him this time. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, because I know the Patriots, with both Gronk and Edelman in the lineup this year, they're 11-0.
Yep.
Last I checked, they're both showing Sunday. Nikki, absolute pleasure. Everyone has enjoyed the insight you continue to give us on the Broncos and the games that you cover. We appreciate it very much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Kevin said in the meeting this week, says, Steve, we have to get reporters that cover all the games on this week. And this is what makes him the best producer, not on the planet, but in the universe. This is where you can say thank you.
Thank you.
I wouldn't brag about it. We'll come back.
Can't win.
I love you, brother. I do. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back. Boy, I don't know what else Kevin has planned for the week. It sounds like Kevin's already lined up Bob Flounders of the Patriot News for Friday. Sounds like Kevin's got a writer from the Carolina Panthers on Friday.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's Friday.
Yeah. And I mean, so you must be working the phones 24/7.
I think I'm out of minutes on my cell phone right now.
Honestly, people, I just show up and just do what I do. It's really handed to me in a silver platter. Hello?
Hello? I'm not one to toot my own horn, so.
Oh, go ahead. I think all of us would like to hear you try do
no,
that in this instance.
No, I'd rather not.
You sure?
I'm good,
no,
thanks.
You don't want to? Okay, good. Great to have everybody with us. We're having a good time today, obviously. Our thanks to Nikki Giavallo of the Denver Post for joining us. This is, of course, after yesterday we had a writer, Mark Daniels, from the Providence Journal. So we've covered the Patriots and we've covered the Broncos. We are going to get a writer on from who covers the Carolina Panthers on a regular basis to talk about the great season that they've had to this point. We're going to have a reporter on from Milwaukee who covers Wisconsin basketball tomorrow as well. And Bob Flounders, Patriot News, is going to join us as well. We're going to also have, in the opening half hour on Friday, Rob Cooper, the Penn State baseball coach, on. Rick Sofield, who's the third base coach of the Pirates, is going to be here on Friday as part of the first pitch dinner. I'm sure they'll get some idiot to MC it.
They're desperate enough to make a couple of calls? Are they desperate enough to dial your number?
All right.
I mean, if they want some real talent, I'm available, but, you know, it's...
And that guy last week called me arrogant. Was it Jeff?
I think so, yeah. It was Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Maybe you sat down in a meeting with us. Maybe you'd quickly change your opinion as to what you hear, what you think you hear. All the laughs that we have. So, Roethlisberger is really a freak of nature, isn't he? I mean, listen to Nikki talk about the Denver playing team. How this guy's huge. Right? And Jack's talked to me about it several times, about Roethlisberger's pure size and strength. I mean, $23 million in the cap? Give him 50.
It's not my money. I don't care.
That's going to be an issue for the Steelers moving forward, though. They have $80 million on the cap in six guys. So they're going to have to be really smart as to how they do it. Now, I mentioned Heath Miller yesterday. It doesn't mean that Heath Miller cannot restructure his contract down if he wants to stay. He would not be the first guy that's ever done that, that's restructured his contract to make it more cap-friendly for the team because he wants to stay in one place. But I can't imagine that at, what, $4 million? And considering you have $80 million of your cap space already taken by six players, that you're not going to want to at least visit restructuring or visit the possibility of cutting. Now, certain guys aren't to that point yet. Ryan Shazier is not at that point yet. Le'Veon Bell's not at that point. They're not up to the second contract yet. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.